Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
The attack lasted just 58 seconds, but the events at Lordship Credit Union in County Louth on Friday the 25th of January 2013 and the killing of Garda Adrian Donoghue led to the longest murder trial in the history of the state. 122 days of court sittings over 28 weeks in spite of the global pandemic. This afternoon, after 20 hours of deliberations, the jury at the Central Criminal Court delivered its verdict. 29-year-old Aaron Brady of Crossmaglen, County Armagh, guilty of the capital murder of Detective Garda Donoghue. Brady will be sentenced to the mandatory term for capital murder of 40 years imprisonment. It's the first such conviction in 35 years. Four other men were with Brady at Lordship 7 years ago. This afternoon, the Detective Garda Commissioner John Toohey gave them this warning.
Today's a day of mixed emotions following the conviction earlier on. I suppose our thoughts and our prayers are with the family of Adrian, and I have a clear message that the investigation continues. There were other people involved in this horrific crime, and you will be brought to justice, and we will make every effort and leave no stone unturned. I want to make an appeal and reiterate and support what Chief Superintendent Mangan will say to you in the next couple of minutes. No society can tolerate crimes of this nature, and we as the law enforcement agency we'll do everything we can to work with the community to bring the perpetrators to justice. I also want to make an appeal to the people who committed the crime that we will be knocking on your door and we will make sure that you pay for this horrendous act.
And that's the Deputy Garda Commissioner John Toohey there. Adrian Donoghue's family said that while justice had been done following the conviction of Aaron Brady, nothing would bring their brother back to his wife, children and colleagues. Barry Cummins is the security correspondent for RT's Prime Time. He's been following this case and investigation extensively, and he'll broadcast a special documentary on that tomorrow. He's here in studio. You're welcome, Barry. This afternoon, the jury delivered its verdict. Critically, of course, they had delivered a first verdict guilty to robbery on Monday, key to them continuing on to consider the capital murder.
It was, Mary, and as Mr Justice Michael White sent the jury out to begin deliberations last week, he told them to first consider the charge of robbery because they had to be satisfied that Aaron Brady was part of that five-man gang to be at Lordship on that night, to then consider whether he was the person who had pulled the trigger of the shotgun from point-blank range shooting Detective Garda Adrian Donoghue. So they deliberated on the robbery charge and came back with a unanimous guilty verdict on that charge on Monday of this week, and then continued deliberations on the second charge, well, count one on the indictment, that of capital murder. So that was the process that they had to consider what Aaron Brady had said himself. He said he wasn't there. He was in County Armagh laundering diesel by himself, and he spoke at length about it in his own 5 days of evidence in the witness box. But the jury obviously did not believe him when they weighed it all up. But they considered that robbery charge first, and then they put him in Lordship, and then they had to say to themselves, well, can we say he is the person who pulled the trigger, who came over that back wall, one of those four men, but the person holding the loaded shotgun who ran towards the unmarked Garda car and in a matter of seconds had murdered Adrian Donoghue.
Was it also key that they had to believe from the evidence they heard that he knowingly shot a Garda to convict him of a capital offence?
Yeah, for capital offence. And you mentioned there how rare it is in these days that such a charge is brought, but that Aaron Brady didn't have to know for definite that Adrian Donoghue was a Garda. He had to be reckless as to the factor, the possibility that he was a Garda acting in the course of his duties. And let's say, yes, Adrian Donoghue was in plain clothes. Yes, he was in an unmarked Garda car. But he was part of an armed Garda escort for Credit Union Cash. He was in one of two vehicles that drove into Lordship Credit Union to pick up the second Credit Union car. So there'd be a three-car convoy. And you can talk about common sense or anything else, but knowing the way this gang had operated and the planning involved and the surveillance. And we know and we can say that even on that day, Aaron Brady was in a vehicle, a BMW, that did a drive-by in the afternoon, a slow drive-by past that Credit Union, rolling down the window, casing out the place. And you can imagine that they were having a conversation along the lines of, we'll be behind that wall in maybe 7 hours' time, and all the planning that went into it. This gang knew that Garda Kennedy were going to be in that credit union. They knew there was cash coming from Cooley, cash that had been collected from Carlingford and Omead credit unions, dropping into Lordship to pick up another vehicle to then travel on to a night safe in Dundalk. Mm. This wasn't all done on a spur of the moment. There was planning involved that this gang knew a lot about what was going to happen that night.
Well, let's go back to Lordship on Friday, the 25th of January 2013. Pat Bellew of Lordship Credit Union had just sat into his car with €7,000 to join a Garda escort with four masked men arrived.
Just as I was straightening the car up to drive forward, I noticed a couple of people jump across the wall and they shouted something like, "This is a robbery." I can't tell you exactly what they said. I don't remember the exact words. But the impression I got was that we were going to be raided. And I said to myself, this is just do what you're normally supposed to do. Just, you know, give them the money, put up no opposition. And that's what I did. I stopped the car. The next thing I knew was there was an enormous crack as somebody broke in the driver's door window. And the glass came in on top of me. They reached across me. His body, let's say his chest was here. He never touched me. And I don't think he was able to reach to the bag at the and not touch me. I believe he went round the car, opened the passenger door and took the money. I got out of the car to survey what has happened. Now, I didn't see Adrian straight away. It was only when I looked back and saw Adrian. And it was clearly that there was nothing to be done for him, you know, so I didn't do anything.
Pat Bellew there speaking to you, Barry. These events at Lordship, this raid, there were no forensics. There was no DNA. There was a painstaking Garda investigation afterwards. How did they go about it? How did the Garda go about their business?
Well, I remember, Mary, a year after the murder, we filmed for Primetime another report at that time where we went into the Garda station in Dundalk. And I suppose my question for them at that time was to say, well, it's a year on, what have you done? I suppose there was this expectation or hope or desire that people would be brought to justice quickly. And I remember it was Detective Inspector Brian Moan who brought me in, showed me around, and I got it. Once I got in and saw the investigation, I understood this was going to take some time because it was going through frame by frame thousands upon thousands of hours of CCTV footage, cameras that have been taken from County Armagh, County Louth and different places, all relating to that particular night and some days beforehand as well. And also there was an analysis of phone records and cross-matching, cross-referencing. Because as you say, there were no forensics whatsoever. Mm-hmm. This gang was many things. Ruthless, it was slick as well. And you hear Pat Bellew there say that the one raider never touched him and didn't talk. They were wearing balaclavas, using walkie-talkies, and they left no forensic trace. So Gardaí had to come about it differently. And it's taken 7 years or more than 7 years to get to this stage of the Central Criminal Court.
And involved the police forces around the globe.
It did. And while suspects were identified, and it was Adrian's colleague, Detective Joe Ryan, in those hours afterwards was able to recount to his fellow officers and Adrian's friends who were beginning this investigation that the raiders, some of them had local accents, border accents, was how he described it. So based on that, Gardaí began investigations and a number of people were nominated as persons of interest. And then eventually a person of interest might become a suspect. But there was about 200 people who were persons of interest. But this was whittled down and suspects were then identified. Aaron Brady was one of those people identified as a suspect. Aaron Brady didn't hang around in 2013. He decided to get to the United States. He went on a British passport, flew from Belfast to Newark. He was on a 3-month visa. Like many other Irish people, perhaps he decided to hang around in New York. He was 4 years there and he was hiding out in Woodlawn in New York. But eventually, Gardaí had reached out to the Homeland Security Investigations team in America, linking up with these US police officers. And it was May 2017 that Aaron Brady was arrested on immigration offences and sent back to Ireland. Now, interestingly, Aaron Brady had expressed the desire to, if he was going to be deported, to go to the UK, because he had a British passport. But the Americans thought differently and they sent him home to Ireland. And he was on the run at that stage from a different offence, one of dangerous driving. He was jailed for that. And he came out in 2018 from that prison sentence out onto the public footpath out near Wheatfield Prison, and Gardaí were waiting and arrested and questioned him and then charged him within a few days with the murder, the capital murder of Detective Garda Adrian Dunne.
Tell us a little bit about a little bit more about Aaron Brady, about his background, and even what was he up to prior to 2013?
Yeah.
He gave evidence at his trial.
Oh, he did, and I suppose he acknowledged a few different things. He said he had lied on many an occasion, but he swore in the witness box he was giving a truthful account at that stage, but the jury hasn't believed that. But going back to 2011, he was 19 years old in 2011, and in October of that year, he was arrested by Gardaí in Dundalk after an incident where a car was found to be dangerously driving around Dundalk one particular night, reversing into taxis and smashing into the sides of other vehicles, and quite dangerous acts that this car was involved in. Aaron Brady was found to be the driver of the vehicle. But what's interesting, and consider he was only 19 at the time, it was a stolen car. It was a car which had been taken from Coot Hill in County Cavan in what's called a creeper burglary. We've heard about that in this particular trial, where people are able to break into houses, snap the barrels of locks on doors and get in, take car keys and be gone in a matter of seconds. And the householder doesn't know anything's happened until they wake up and realise the car's gone. And so Aaron Brady was in one of those cars, but added to that, that particular car had been fitted with false plates from a car stolen in England. So this guy is only 19 years old at that time, and that's, say, 15 months before he's part of the gang at Lordship. So you can kind of see that there's something there, even at that time, that he had a means, a link into what I would call organised crime, even at that stage.
And some of the evidence in this lengthy trial, some of that evidence was compelling, particularly the evidence from those who knew him in New York, where he told people he was the man who shot the guard.
He did, and I think it was different times or different reasons he seemed that he just couldn't stop talking about what he had done. And sometimes it was out of bravado or a macho thing, you might call it that, or a sense to intimidate other people. Other times he would perhaps be homesick. He'd be crying and he'd be saying that he was the one who'd shot the Garda. So different times, you could say, at times when he was emotional, he would talk. At times when he was drunk, he would also talk. And he told... Two people gave evidence in the trial who didn't know each other, that Aaron Brady had made admissions or confessions in their presence that he was the one who had shot the cop or shot the Garda in Ireland. But what the jury didn't know, and we always talk about, you know, these things of what maybe wasn't introduced in evidence, the jury didn't know, and perhaps they're only learning afterwards today, that there were five other people who were originally due to give the same type of evidence, and for different reasons they were not called to give evidence, one of them was ruled inadmissible, another one cannot be found, he's gone to ground, and then two others said these people were in America still and they said they would not give evidence, and they just did not want to, and there is an undercurrent in relation to one particular aspect of this, that what the judge has described as the most outrageous contempt of court. And this refers to a witness intimidation, a particular witness who was due to give evidence. And the video was then circulating of this man where he was being labelled as a tout. And this man later said he was not in a position to give evidence and didn't. And Mr. Justice Michael White described it as the most outrageous contempt of court he'd ever come across. And again, I suppose in the era we're in now, social media, this was a particular message that was spread by social media. And so it extended and it reached out to that, it got to that particular person.
We will have much more on this case and the reaction to the verdicts this afternoon later on in the programme. But I'm going to finish with Detective Garda Adrian Donoghue himself, Scott Crabb of Homeland Security. He told you, Barry, of what it meant to visit Adrian's hometown, home place.
He did. Yeah, and it's interesting that and Scott talks about a brotherhood of police officers and how when the Gardaí reached out to them that they, HSI, these American police officers, they responded to the call, and you can see the fruits of that now in what's happened in this particular case. But he spoke about what it meant when American cops went to visit Dundalk.
I've met Carolina's wife and also his brothers. I've spent time with his brothers. I've spent time in the community of Dundalk, and I've even stood in front of his memorial park, Adrian Donoghue's memorial park as well. And it was a great opportunity to be able to see sort of the impact, the loss of a police officer, a husband and a brother, and a dad. And as long as there are targets out there still or suspects out there still, we will pursue them.
And that's Scott Crabb there talking to Barry Cummins. Barry's primetime special, a documentary on these events, will be broadcast tomorrow evening, 25 minutes to 10 after the 9 o'clock news. Barry Cummins, thank you very much for coming into us.